Likewise, Steve. Definitely ready to get this weekend going.
Oh, I know. I've lamented and about the fact that, boy, they probably could have blown the roof off the place with having fans in this weekend, had this been obviously 13 months ago and not now. But this is an interesting run here, Jeff, because you have three upperclassmen out of 10 wrestling for Penn State. What does that tell you about the talent and youth we're about to see?
Yeah, I think it's going to be similar to what we saw in, you know, Cal's first run to a Big Ten and national title in 2011. I think it'll be similar to what we saw, you know, when Jason Ulf and Bo Nickel were coming through in their freshman campaigns as well. I mean, I think that the overall quality and depth in this freshman class is just outstanding and probably as good, if not better, than anything the Cal's brought in, which obviously is saying something. You know, it's just such an unusual situation this year with the limited mat time that I am really curious to see kind of how these guys respond with so little time. In particular, you know, Robbie Howard and Greg Kirkfleet, who just really have not had much time even in the room to make the normal progression you would during that freshman campaign.
Well, Robbie gets going with Eric Barnett of Wisconsin in the opening round. What do you see for Robbie in his path, especially starting with Barnett?
Yeah, I like the matchup, Steve, and it's certainly no disrespect to Barnett, but I think Robbie Howard matches up very well with him, and I think that is a good draw given the possibilities that were there for Robbie with the limited resume. You know, both Robbie and Bo Bartlett as 11 seeds, I mean, and no fault of the seating committee. I mean, this isn't a criticism of where they're seated, but anybody who thinks either of those guys is going to end up outside of the top 10 at this conference tournament just isn't paying attention and doesn't understand the talent level that those two bring. But I do think, you know, that it's a good test. I think it's a good match for Robbie, but I like the matchup. I think style-wise, it's a good one for Robbie. I think he'll be able to get his offense going. You know, I suspect that match could be a fairly high scoring one. And you know, I'm kind of anticipating the winner of that bout will be in double digits, but I think Robbie, once he gets going here, is really going to find his footing in this Big Ten tournament and make his presence felt. And I think he's, you know, one of a few guys that has to have a big weekend, obviously, for Penn State to be in contention on Sunday afternoon for the team title.
Roman Bravo Young will get a bye in the opening round. Obviously, he's one of the favorites, along with probably Austin DeSanto of Iowa. How do you like Roman Bravo Young's path here?
Yeah, I like it a lot, Steve. I mean, I really I think he's, you know, you never say coasting in the Big Ten conference, but he's certainly going to be a prohibitive favorite to get to the finals at the very least. And it's, you know, be a rematch with likely DeSanto, although DeSanto, I think, will have his work cut out in the semifinals as well. But again, Roman, I think, is resting as well, if not better than he has at any point in his career. And I think his confidence right now is at an all-time high, and not that he's ever really lacked for confidence, but he really has an understanding right now of what it is he can do and what he needs to do to go out and get himself in contention and try to win the national title here.
Nick Lee very much in the same spot. He'll get a bye. Same story on path. He may not be the number one seed, but what do you think of his path?
Yeah, I will say that semifinal matchup with Rivera is really intriguing, and I think you know, I think the top three here at Big Tens are the top three in my mind nationally. And I think, you know, on any given day, again, any of them could come out on top and end up third or vice versa. And
right.
I'm really curious to see how it shakes out both this weekend and then again at the NCAAs, seeing what adjustments all of the guys make depending on what happens this weekend. But I like Nick's, you know, pass certainly to get to the semis. And then, I think he's wrestling as well as he ever has. I flip a coin between those top three because I just think they're a little heads and shoulders above the rest of the field, certainly in the Big Ten here.
Bo Bartlett has he'll open up with Michael Blockhouse of Minnesota. You know, Sammy Sasso obviously is the guy to beat in all of this. But you know, can Bartlett be one of those podium guys and get to Nationals?
Yeah, I definitely think he can, Steve. You know, really the only thing, well, I guess two things going against Bo is obviously lack of collegiate experience, but he has so much experience overall that I think that's not appreciable. But he is undersized at 149. I think he's as talented as anybody, including Sammy Sasso. But you know, his talent is going to take him so far, and then he's going to have to figure some things out on what he can do and be a little creative with the size differential that he has. But we're talking about a special talent here, Steve, and I know he goes in as the 11th seed, but I really think Penn State's thinking that this is a legit contender for a Big Ten title and could even get into the national title mix. And I think it would be, you know, disappointing in the minds of Bo and Penn State if he wasn't at least in the top five. And I think he'll be disappointed if he's not in the top three anyway coming out of the weekend.
It's amazing what maturity can mean, because Brady Berge has slowly but surely worked his way up rankings. He's now the 5 seed going into this. What do you see from him?
Yeah, Steve, I just love the way he is finally, I guess, at peace with everything right now. He's had some struggles, and you know, part of it's been psychological and mental, and there's been some, you know, issues that he's had to work through from past incidents and everything, and then the concussion issue last year, and he wasn't sure he wanted to continue to compete. And I just think this summer he was able to just figure a whole lot out and just decided he's just going to go have fun and let his talent speak for itself. And, you know, he's a tremendously hard worker, just a fun kid. I mean, he's just a really neat kid, easy kid to root for. And I think the sky's the limit, Steve. I mean, you know, we've seen it. He's pulled out some close matches this year. And I think that's going to be the case both in Big Tens and at Nationals. I don't think he's going to lose by more than a couple of points to anybody. But there's not a whole lot of guys, you know, certainly in the top 10 or 12 that he's going to beat by more than a point or two. And it's going to come down to, you know, who can gut it out. And so far this year, he's been the one able to do that. And I think, again, he's a guy that's certainly capable of winning the Big Tens. And I think he's a guy that's capable of winning the national title. I mean, I think he's that good, that talented. But again, he's a bit of an X factor, because I don't think, you know, it certainly wouldn't be shocking if he finishes, you know, in that fifth place match this weekend. But boy, if he can get into the top three or, you know, get to the finals, obviously you're talking about a significant difference in points here for the team race.
All right. Obviously, at 65, Alex Marinelli of Iowa is the guy to beat. All right. I don't think it takes a genius to figure that out. But Joe Lee's sitting there. He's got the Spadafore from Maryland to start out with. What do you like of the progress of Joe Lee that he can make a run?
Yeah, he's a guy, Steve, that I just think needed to get matches under his belt and was able to do that to, you know, whatever degree you could this season. And I like the fact that he has that potential matchup with Ethan Smith from Ohio State in the quarterfinals in that second round, because, you know, Smith pinned him, but I think it was a match that Lee was right there. And I think there's going to be a hunger factor there that's going to be kind of hard to explain for Joe Lee. And again, Smith is very good. I mean, I would certainly favor, with the experience that Smith has, favor him in that match. But I'm really kind of excited to see what Joe Lee does this weekend, and in that bout in particular, what adjustments he makes to, you know, what we saw in the dual meet and throughout the dual season. But he's a guy, Steve, another one of these guys that could, you know, certainly go 1-2 at Nationals, or could end up, you know, fourth or fifth in the on the podium. It's just it's a matter of you know, him being able to keep his focus and make some slight adjustments here. And then part of it's going to be the matchups, too. And again, right. I think Ethan Smith is a good matchup for him, you know, even though you might laugh at that with him getting pinned. But I really do think Joe's a dangerous opponent here for Ethan Smith at that stage of the tournament.
Well, and then it's 74. Carter's going to get going with, well, I mean, look, everybody, Penn State has a couple of Lees. They got a couple of Spatafores. All right, so yep. Carter gets a start with Phillip right away. Kemmerer, obviously, is the guy to beat there. But here's a guy, Big Ten Wrestler of the Week. He's come on. What do you think of him?
Yeah, Steve, he's special. And he's just a guy that kind of gets it, gets what it is he needs to do to compete at this level. He's obviously tremendous on top. We saw that. I mean, that's what won him the matches over Massa and Romero during the regular season. And I think he's just so excited about the opportunity this weekend. But again, it is a really good weight class. And, I think, again, in my mind, probably those top three again at this weight with Kemmerer, Labriola, and Sirachi. I think any of them are capable of going out and winning Big Tens and or Nationals. And I think, Romero and Massa are right there as well. I mean, this is probably as deep a weight class in terms of top-end talent as there is in the Big Ten this year.
Aaron Brooks is the defender at 184. He's the number one seed. Where is he better this year, Jeff, than he was a year ago?
Yeah, I think he's a little better in scoring on top. And that's kind of been a general trend under Cale Sanderson and this coaching staff is, guys just learn how to wrestle from top better as they go along and start to figure out that sophomore and junior year in particular how to really score and not just, ride for riding's sake. And I think Aaron, can score in a more varied way from the top position. I also think he's got a little more aggressive mindset now and is a little more attack-oriented from the neutral position. He's obviously got a tremendous skill set to work with. But I think he's improved in all areas, but I really think his ability to control guys and score points from that top position is a difference maker for him this year.
And then at 97, Michael Beard, all right, gets going with Billy Jasner, Janzer, I should say, of Rutgers. Eric Schultz of Nebraska is the guy to beat, it seems, in all of this. Well, what about Michael and what can he do?
Yeah, he's another one where, Steve, I just think he is so dangerous because when he gets his tilts going, again, he can rack up points quickly against anybody. And I was glad that he got I wish he would have had the chance to wrestle Eric Schultz during the regular season just to get that feel.
Right.
But I think having wrestled Miles Amin and had that feel, and he knew he was right there. I mean, again, a couple of little technical adjustments, and I think, he is certainly capable of winning that matchup, which will be a huge one in the team race if he was able to pick up the victory there in the quarterfinals. But, he's another one of these guys where, Steve, he could finish seventh or eighth, or he could finish second, maybe even win the whole thing. I mean, I don't think there's anybody there that you look at and say, wow, there's just such a talent disparity that, Michael is going to be fortunate to keep it close. I mean, I think anybody there, he has the skill set to be able to beat. Whether or not he can put it together consistently over the course of a tournament like this, that remains to be seen. But I'm really excited for that Amin matchup for Beard in the quarterfinals, assuming he gets by chance.
Well, and then at 285, obviously Gable Stevenson is sitting there from Minnesota. But maybe one of the more intriguing guys in all of this is Greg Kirkland. You want to talk about talent and mystery all at the same time. I think he's got both.
Yep. He does, and again, it's like Robbie Howard, the only thing missing for him right now is just the mat time this year. With the injury, he was just not able to condition the way he normally would. But man, Steve, we've had a chance to watch him at some of the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club live events, and I mean, obviously, you can see the videos and stuff from high school. But when you see him in person, it is unreal that he is as smooth as he is for a heavyweight and as quick as he is. And I do. It's another matchup that, again, in this quarterfinal round,
right.
could very well be a make or break round in terms of the team race for Penn State trying to hang in there with Iowa. But I just think the matchups are intriguing for Penn State fans. And again, win or lose, I think it's going to be a good feel for these guys to get heading to the NCAAs. And then obviously, you know, the hope is that the kids and the coaching staff can make the adjustments to change any results that don't go Penn State's way this coming weekend. But that matchup with Mason Paris, again, I think you're talking, in my mind, certainly two of the three most athletic heavyweights, if not the most athletic. Gable Steveson is, you know, the most accomplished, right, and obviously very athletic in his own right. But, boy, the athleticism of Kirkfleet and Paris, I just think if you are somebody that does not want to watch a taffy pull, as we so often see in heavyweight bouts, this is one you're going to want to watch because both these guys like to get out after it, and both have really varied offensive attacks. And I just think, again, this is a heavyweight bout where the loser could be in double digits on the scoreboard at the end of the bout.
Jeff, how wide open is the team race?
Yeah, Iowa is obviously the prohibitive favorite, and rightfully so. I mean, we talked about the three upperclassmen for Penn State, eight upperclassmen for Iowa. I mean, they just have the two sophomores, not a freshman, in the lineup, and six seniors. So, you know, they obviously have a veteran team, and they've been there. They've done this. They won the title last year and have virtually everybody back. So, you know, they are definitely, rightfully, the favorite going in. I think the only team in my mind, and again, if Michigan had Stefan Micic ready to go this weekend, you know, it might change, and I might say Michigan's in there as well. I think Nebraska's a dangerous tournament team, but I just don't think the overall potential top-end, you know, champions or at least getting to the finals guys, and, you know, that ability to get 10 into the NCAAs. I mean, in my mind, it's Penn State and Iowa are the only two teams that have the combination of both depth and the top-end stars to be able to make a run at this thing. And, you know, I truly think Penn State will be right in the mix. Again, whether or not they're able to pull it out against as veteran a team as Iowa is, that's why they're going to wrestle, and we'll find out. But I suspect it'll be between Penn State and Iowa. And then if anybody else is to get into the mix there for the title here, I think Nebraska and Michigan would be the only other two teams that I think have enough tournament firepower to make things interesting at the top.
Looking forward to the privilege of hearing your work this weekend, Jeff. Have a great time with it.
You know that I will, Steve. Not a concern at all there.
Not in the least. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it.